The scripture is from Matthew chapter 7. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you dressed like sheep, but inside they are vicious wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do people get bunches of grapes from thorny weeds, or do they get figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, and every rotten tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a rotten tree can't produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, you will know them by their fruits.
I know y'all saw the title of the sermon and you're wondering, uh-oh, what's coming? God in the heat of the moment. It's our short 6-week end of summer series reflecting on God moments we've had these past few months, some of which we've shared as a church family, some as a community, perhaps more we've experienced in our own lives. These are those moments when it seems God shows up just in time and often in unexpected places and faces. This summer, Brenda and I spent quite a bit of time in Florida at a little quiet community called Palm Beach Shores. It's nestled just north of the more popular and very affluent Palm Beach, which is the address of Mar-a-Lago, referred to by the current presidential administration as the Winter White House. At the outset, let me say that in spite of spending about 6 weeks in Palm Beach Shores this summer, I have not yet visited Mar-a-Lago. I have, however, made a couple of visits to two drunken goats. Two Drunken Goats is a beachside open-air restaurant, and it gets its name from folklore. As the story's told, during Prohibition, there was a man named McCoy who was famous for his moonshine in the Florida Glades. It was so good that it was referred to as the real McCoy. From all over South Florida, folks would make their way to McCoy's speakeasy to enjoy the hospitality and, of course, the good moonshine. McCoy kept his stills hidden back in the acreage behind the speakeasy, and from time to time, the livestock would get into contact with the stills. There were two goats who, in particular, would lick the leftovers, and one night, the goats found their way to the speakeasy to mingle with the patrons. The drunken goats were such a hit, and McCoy quickly said, "Hey, this is good for business." And then soon, the term drunken goats became a code word to mean the moonshine's a-flowing. Now, to those outside the circle, they just saw two old goats hanging around a gathering of old men. But to those in the know, goats sent a very different signal. Confusing signals. Seems like it's not just goats that can cause that to occur. And that's a reflection I'd like for us to give a bit of thought to this morning. Now, I met my own version of two drunken goats this summer. Meet Hank. I spent some very early morning hours at the ocean's shoreline, and I met Hank. Hank is there every day except Thursdays, combing the beach for treasures or something. He has quite the elaborate metal detector with headphones. So my perception of Hank before having an initial conversation with him was, what a nice older man, and how sweet it is that at his age he's still enjoying early mornings at the beach. I've always had a fondness for older folks, and Hank seemed to fit perfectly in that grandfather image. As I began to initiate conversation with Hank, I found out he was a retired state police officer and Navy pilot, that he bowls on Thursdays, which is why I wouldn't find him at the beach on Thursday, that his first wife died of cancer. His second wife didn't quite work out. And he's fairly happy living with a woman now. I looked forward to seeing Hank until our conversations moved from surface and generalities to more specifics. And to be honest, I would count my relationship with Hank as a big unknown at this point, and certainly a work in progress. You see, one day, when I thought Hank and I were well on our way to being early riser beach buddies, he told me how disgusted he was to learn that his daughter and son-in-law had taken his grandchildren to Disney, and that during their Disney visit, it was Pride Week and Disney was celebrating the LGBT community. And Hank said to me, "I just hate to think that my grandkids had to see that. I mean, how would their parents respond to questions of men kissing men and women kissing women?" Have a nice day, Hank. I ended that morning's conversation pretty quickly, and in truth, in some turmoil about it, without revealing to Hank that my wife and I had recently purchased a vacation spot on the same beach where he walked every day. Hank's outward sign of age and enjoyment of the beach made him appear approachable to me. Yet once I knew his feelings about people like me, I took some steps back from my budding friendship with Hank. I was confused. The second drunken goat or mixed message I received this summer was on the flight home. Meet Babacar. We left Florida at 4:45 p.m. with a scheduled arrival in Lexington of 9:30. That was until just as we landed in Atlanta, the airport temporarily shut down due to storms. And I'm not talking about a delay or two. I mean the Atlanta airport, full to their brim with people, was shut down for hours. We finally landed at 4:30 a.m. and felt lucky to do so in Louisville. Still a good hour-long car ride from home. Having few options and with an Uber transaction ready to go, we met Babacar, a cab driver waiting for business in the Louisville airport at 4:30 in the morning and willing to drive us to Lexington. I did my normal wheeling and dealing for a good rate, and off we were, hoping to arrive home by 6 because I had a 9 o'clock meeting at work, so a mere 3 hours later. It was an all-nighter I didn't anticipate, and certainly not how I planned to end a vacation. As I normally do, much sometimes to Bryn's chagrin, I made conversation with the cab driver. Although admittedly, had Babacar not wanted to chat, I could have probably napped a bit. As luck would have it, or I'd say God would, Babacar was ready to talk. I commented about his selection of the country music station, and he shared that's how he taught himself English, which, by the way, was remarkably good. I asked him where he was from. Africa. I asked him how long he had been in the USA. 3 years. He asked us where we had been. West Palm Beach. "Ah," he said, "Trump territory." Too tired to wager where this conversation was going, Babacar said, "I love that man." And like someone had thrown cold water on me, I sat up straight and said, "What?" I said, "Babacar, I was just starting to like you. Please tell me how you can love President Trump." This is a true story, ask Brent. And Babacar said, "Well, I love this country. And I can tell you that most people outside the United States hate us. and Trump was going to be tough on them, and we need to be tough because there's mean people. Over the next 45 minutes, we talked some about politics. Brent and I assured him, we assured Babacar that we did not love Trump, and since we knew we're only an hour or so from home, we just hit the highlights of our reasons. But we also talked about his kids in Africa, three of them, their education, the challenges of his native country. And with each of Babacar's stories, Brenda would pull another $20 bill from her purse. So much for my wheeling and dealing for our taxi rate, Daniel. By the time we pulled into our driveway, Babacar had invited us to Africa. During the 3 months every year, he returns home, and he said, "You all are beautiful, and Africa is beautiful, and I will take care of you and keep you safe and introduce you to my family." I asked Babacar for his cell number so I could text him, which I have about every 2 weeks, by the way. And I thanked him for the safe trip, and I thanked him for a good conversation. And I asked him if I could take his picture. And I said, "Babacar, I'm going to preach about you one Sunday, about how I met a Trump-loving, country music-listening African." Who got us home and who we shared common humanity with and kindness. As we handed him our fare, more than he expected, Babacar responded, "God bless you. And if you're ever in Louisville and you need a ride or you just want to grab a bite to eat, you call me and look me up." Like Hank and the goats hanging out, Babacar sent me a different message than I expected. For with someone who I couldn't have many more differences, not only did I form this immediate fondness, but I was really ready to go to Africa with him. God in the heat of the moment. In today's scripture from Matthew, Jesus is addressing confusion such as drunken goats and men named Hank and Babacar. Only he's talking about us. Well, not us, but us. You know, those of us who claim to follow Jesus' example and teaching. As Deb read, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Jesus said to his disciples, and to us, "You will know them by their fruit." I wonder if anyone ever gets confused about us. We've produced some good fruit here at Bluegrass this summer, from vacation Bible schools to pride booths, to interfaith worship, to advocating in civic halls and outside Jewish temples. We sure have produced some good fruit this summer. I'm thankful for the good community fruit we've produced together. And yet I'm mindful that in doing so, we may not be producing God-like fruit with one another. It's been no secret that I've preached the past few weeks on unity, on loving one another, on the importance of remaining in covenant. That is intentional and more than likely unpopular. But the truth is, I have had more than a normal share of one-on-one meetings or emails or texts concerning a few internal disputes among and in between members of our church family. And what I've shared and what I'll continue to share is this, that while I recognize that people are people, and just because we come to church or pastor a church, it doesn't make us immune to personality flaws or lapses in judgment, bickerings and pettiness inside the church can take a church out, especially a small church like ours. And even more importantly, when these things occur, we can paint it however we want. But friends, it's not Christian. It's not who we're called to be. And we are better than that. Our community fruit might look good, but this morning I want to challenge us, every single one of us, to take a look at the individual fruit we're giving to each other and to our church. Are the good works in the community code words for something that really is going on? Someone in the church upset us or hurt our feelings, so we cut them off or we defriend them on Facebook, or maybe worse, we make this passive-aggressive post knowing that those who know the code will get it. Tell me, brothers and sisters, is this good fruit? Is it right fruit? We may not agree with every decision made or every person in leadership, so we decide to pull back from church. In our attendance, in our involvement, in our financial support, is this the right fruit? In our lives as church family members, we're called to love. To love when it's hard. To forgive even when we could justify not doing so. To sacrifice our own objectives and feelings when it's easier to practice a religion of convenience or self-righteousness. God, help us be church. This is not the call, friend, to act in this way. It's just not. Can we call ourselves a loving, authentic faith community when we're not being loving or authentic? I wonder, do people in our community say, man, Bluegrass United Church of Christ, they're sure active in our community. But you ought to see how they treat one another. Will they see good fruits on all sides? And not just how we act in the community, but how we act with ourselves, our claimed brothers and sisters that we call ourselves. Listen, we got a lot of visitors here this morning, and some, even in our church family, they're going, what is the pastor talking about this morning? Maybe you're removed from some of these internal conflicts going on, and I don't want to leave an impression that we're ready to implode, because we are not. And yet, since starting this church, I have followed the advice of Barney Fife and Mayberry, who says, nip it in the bud. And so, it's been my practice since starting this church over 6 years ago for us to nip things before they do implode. So it's safe to say, we got to get things back on track. And we got to be who we're called to be. There's enough of that division going on out there. We got to get it together in here. And sooner versus later. Whether today's the first time we've worshiped together, or whether we're here week after week and have grown a little weary and grumpy with one another. Church, let's move away from coded cliques like those understood by the two drunken goats. And let's move from stereotypes or judgments like the confused signals I received or made as related to Hank and Babacar. And instead, let's live into our call as people who claim to be Christian, which means to be Christ-like in our actions, all our actions. It's not easy. No one said it would be, but it's our call. See, friends, it's easy to be Christian with grandfatherly men like Hank, till it's not. It's easy to be Christian with those who share our politics or our theology. Oh, it's easy to be Christian, isn't it? Until it's not. Yet that's our call. The call that we will be known by our fruits. That we will not be stumbling blocks to one another, but bridges. Bridges stretching sometimes over troubled waters of misunderstanding and distrust and hurt feelings and bruised egos. So friends, what will it be this morning? How will it be? Well, that's on us.
When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side. When times get rough and friends just can't be found, like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down, like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. Sail on, silver girl, sail on by. Your time has come to shine, and your dreams are on the way. See how they shine. If you need a friend, I'm sailing right behind, and like a bridge over troubled water, I will ease your mind. Why don't you just let it be? Still water runs deep.
Yes, and
don't trouble the water.
A bridge over troubled waters. And what I love about that version that Kenny selected is the last phrase. Don't trouble the waters.